Welcome to Real Talk with Jordan Riley, where the real talk does not come from me. It comes directly from God's Word. And before we get started today, please consider subscribing to our channel, giving this a thumbs up, and supporting what we do by going to realtalkwithjordan.com. On today's episode, we're going to unmask one of the biggest prosperity pimps out there. This man has flown under the radar for decades, and most people think he's amazing when he absolutely is not. So are you ready? Let's go.
You must become seed conscious, not need conscious. When you look at how much you need, you're looking at the wrong solution. You need to start thinking about the seed. When what you have in your hand does not meet your need, it is your seed, and it needs to be planted. A seed can do nothing until it gets in the soil, and then it can multiply itself many hundreds of times. Without seed time, it's impossible to have a harvest. If you give nothing, you get nothing. God can increase what you give 100-fold, but nothing times nothing is nothing.
What a load of nonsense. That was false teacher John Hagee, who claims right there that if you can't meet your needs and you can't pay your bills, just sow a seed into his ministry. Just give to God and bam, you're gonna have more than enough. You're gonna have overflow.
Come on, man.
Let me be very clear, you guys. Said no verse ever. John Hagee has been at this for way over 50 years. And most people in America think he's a good guy, think he's a godly pastor, really tells it like it is and stands for great values. No, he does not. John Hagee is a false teacher. And I'm going to give you 7 clear reasons that prove he's a fraud. Number 1, he preaches a form of the prosperity gospel. I like to call these guys prosperity pimps. He believes that poverty is caused by sin. And that's a lie, by the way. Let's look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says, "Not that I speak from want, for I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in abundance. In any and all things, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." So did Paul say anywhere in those verses that his lack came from sin? No, not at all. Also, Matthew chapter 8, verse 20 says that Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. Now, does that mean Jesus was a sinner because he was poor?
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
No, absolutely not. Now, I want you to watch as John Hagee twists 4 different verses in the Bible to convince people that when you give to God, you're going to get a huge harvest. He does this by trying to get people to sow a seed into his ministry. And I want you to know this is pure greed and it's pure man-centered nonsense.
The Bible says in Genesis 8:22 that as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest are the principles through which the prosperity of God is demonstrated. Genesis 8:22 says that.
I want you to know that John Hagee twists God's word to make millions. Literally, he is preying on people's gullibility and greed to get them to give. Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 through 22 is talking about how God will never flood the earth and that seasons will remain so that people can plant and harvest and eat. This has zero to do with money.
You say, "Pastor, you mean that if I give to the Lord that I should expect to gain?" Absolutely. The Bible says very clearly in Luke 6:38, "Give and it shall be given unto you," listen, "good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." That's a 4-way gain. Wall Street does not promise a 4-way gain. You lay it down, cross your fingers, and pray.
And there he goes again, twisting God's word to make it seem like it's about money when it has nothing to do with it. The context is Luke chapter 6, verses 30 through 38. And it's actually about giving to your enemies. And what are we giving? In the context of the verse, we're giving mercy and forgiveness. And yes, we are supporting them in their needs. But let's keep watching.
Every time God gives you an opportunity to give, he is giving you an opportunity to increase your income. Matthew 13:3-8, Jesus said, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and the seed fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. 100-fold, actually, with a calculator, is 10,000%. Wall Street doesn't have that.
See, according to John Hagee, we give to God to get back tons of money. Oh, yeah. Daddy needs a new car. Daddy needs a new boat. This is pure nonsense. See, for followers of Jesus, we recognize that our money is the Lord's anyways, and we give it back to him with a glad and cheerful heart. See, Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 and 8 has zero to do with money. It's all about sowing the word of God. Look at the parallel passage in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "The seed is the word of God." But see, John Hagee hopes that you don't understand it, that you don't open your Bible and actually see what it says. Because you know what? If you listen to him, you know, you hope that you can get 30 or 60 or 100-fold return. That's big bucks. But again, that's pure greed.
I've heard people say all of my life, "Pastor, I'm so far behind financially, I'll never catch up." That's not true. God made a way for you to catch up. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more." Say that with me, and more. So that there will not only be enough for your needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. Now that's gain.
See, one thing that false teachers always do is they love to isolate a verse or rip it out of context, because by doing so, they can make it say just about whatever they want. And John Hagee does that as he reads only 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. But he leaves out verse 9, which is talking about giving to the poor, not to his ministry or to a church. Number two, he partners with other false teachers. Please know that this is forbidden by God and that the Lord takes this extremely serious.
John Hagee, happy birthday, my covenant brother. I tell you, John, I get so excited. I think about Kufi and I think about all the things that you and I have seen all together all these years and what our God has done and what he's doing now. And it thrills me, sir, to just know you and to understand and see the life of the Hagee family. And Diane, we love you, girl. You're something. But happy birthday, brother. Praise God. You and I are going to get so old together preaching this gospel. Old people going to call us. Oh, praise God. Happy birthday, sir. I love you.
So Kenneth Copeland, one of the worst false teachers in history, expresses his love and his friendship for John Hagee. Houston, we have a problem. I mean, think about that a second. This is a violation of God's word, but it is not an isolated incident. Here he is with false teachers, Morris Cirillo, and with Robert Morris, also with Joel Osteen and Billy Graham. Now remember, God takes this very seriously. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says that we're to not partner with the deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Also in 2 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we're to have nothing to do with false teachers, not greet them, not offer them a hello, not welcome them into our house. And if this wasn't enough, here is false teacher T.D. Jakes preaching at John Hagee's church. And then he expresses how much he loves John Hagee and how much he's learned from John Hagee. What?
Thank you. That's so cool. I got love over there too. Well, everybody who loves me, just make some noise. Let's just get this over with. You may have to kick me out of here. I like it here. Say amen, somebody. With the... Yeah, they said they love you too, so we're doing good. We all love Pastor Hagee. Give it up for Pastor Hagee. Don't we love him? Come on, just give it to him. Just give it to him. Yeah, we love him. There'll never be another one like him. He's in a class all by himself. I sincerely and honestly mean I wouldn't have made it through the early years of pastoring the Potter's House without his voice in my ear, helping me to steer through the vicissitudes of a ministry that just burgeoned and blossomed and brought forth so rapidly. I would call him from time to time to help me discern where I was, because God's will can take you to a place that scares you to death. How many of you know that's right?
Number three, he claims that the Jewish people will be saved without coming to Jesus. Said no verse ever. This is nowhere found in scripture, you guys, and it is a damning teaching for the Jewish people. Here's a quote that he gave to a newspaper. Quote, "Trying to convert the Jews is a waste of time," Hagee said. "Everyone else, whether Buddhist or Baha'i, needs to believe in Jesus," he said, "but not Jews. Jews already have a covenant with God that has never been replaced with Christianity." And please understand, this is pure heresy and goes against the clear teachings of Scripture. Just in case you think this is made up, I want you to watch this.
Here's a direct quote from his 1984 book, Should Christians Support Israel? I quote, "There are right now Jewish peoples on this earth who have a powerful and special relationship with God. Let us put an end to the Christian chatter that all Jews are lost and can't be in the will of God until they convert to Christianity. There are a certain number of Jews in relationship with God right now through divine election."
Number four, he claims that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah. Now I want you to know that this man is a liar and is ignoring the clear teachings of Scripture.
I'm delighted to present my latest book, In Defense of Israel. This book will expose the sins of the fathers and the vicious abuse of the Jewish people. In Defense of Israel will shape Christian theology. It scripturally proves that the Jewish people as a whole did not reject Jesus as Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. It will prove that there was a Calvary conspiracy between Rome, the high priest, and Herod to execute Jesus as an insurrectionist too dangerous to live. Since Jesus refused by word and deed to claim to be the Messiah, how can the Jews be blamed for rejecting what was never offered? Read it in this shocking expose, In Defense of Israel.
Now, instead of reacting, let's go based on truth of what God's word actually says. Let's take a look at John chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. It says, "The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us openly.' Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me.'" Now you see in those verses that Jesus made it clear that he had already told them before, and he was telling them again that he was the Messiah. Also, many times in the Gospels, Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man, and that title was a messianic title. If you want other verses to look at, go see Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, and Luke chapter 24, verses 25 through 27. Number 5, John Hagee divorced his wife and married another woman. Hagee admitted that he was guilty of immorality back in 1975, so he divorced his wife, left his church, started a new church, and then in 1976 married a member of that new church, which eventually became the cornerstone church that it is today. John Hagee is disqualified to be a pastor on that point alone because of his adultery and divorcing his wife, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. This is a violation of God's word, very, very clear, and just another reason why we should mark and avoid this man. Number 6, he teaches that you can lose your salvation. Now watch this clip really closely and see what he says, because again, it's a twisting of God's word.
Grace does not listen to this. Grace does not guarantee that every person is going to be eternally saved. Some of you have been raised on this doctrine all of your life. I want you to listen. Hebrews 10:26 says, if we sin willfully, did you hear that phrase? If we sin willfully, that means you know it's wrong when you do it, but you do it anyway. If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, that means you've been saved, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Revelation 3:5, this is the cardinal verse. Revelation 3:5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. In the book of Revelation, when you have a white garment, that means you are saved and you are in heaven. But then God says, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. That means remove your name from the book of life. The point is very simple. The name was in the book, saved, or it couldn't have been blotted out of the book. Do you see that? The point is, there's no such thing as once saved, always saved, or Revelation 3 and 5 is wrong.
So first of all, he twists Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. That verse is not referring to Christians. See, John Hagee wants you to think that this verse is talking about someone who is saved, and that's absolutely not true. Just because you received some knowledge does not mean you trusted it or believed it. Then he twists Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, which is a promise from God, not a warning that he will blot out our names from the Lamb's book of life. See, this is a false teaching by a wolf in sheep's clothing that loves to manipulate people. Number 7, he leads people in the unbiblical sinner's prayer. You need to watch this.
And now, Pastor Hagee, would you lead them to the Lord, please? Those of you that are watching this telecast, and you know that if you were to stand in the judgment day right now, you're not ready to meet Christ. There's unconfessed sin in your life. All that you have to do, the Bible says, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. It's the most important prayer you will ever pray in all of your life. It's the difference between making heaven your home and living eternally without the Lord. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Come in my heart and life today. From this moment forward, I will serve you. I will obey you. I will read your word, and it will be the law of my life. From this day forward, you are my Lord, and I am your servant. And now, because of Calvary and the precious blood of Christ, I am saved. My sins are forgiven. Angels are writing my name in the Lamb's book of life. I'm saved. I'm in the family of God. Heaven is my home. Amen.
Wow, there are two shocking, big, massive red flags that you should have caught in that last clip. First of all, did you notice whose program he was on? That would have been Benny Hinn's. And Benny Hinn is one of the worst false teachers in history. And so by being on his program, he was violating God's word. Think about that a second. But even more dangerous, he was going around and in essence, making Benny Hinn look legitimate. Well, hey, I'm on Benny Hinn's program. If you love John Hagee, you can love Benny Hinn because we twist God's word together. I mean, that is disgusting and wrong. But secondly, he was having people repeat a prayer after him. Please understand, this is also extremely unbiblical. In Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Jesus said to repent, not to repeat. And I want you to understand that nowhere in the Bible is there a sinner's prayer. The apostles and Jesus never went around saying, do you want to repeat a prayer after me? Do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? No, not at all. See, John Hagee is someone who has deceived people for far too long. And it's time for us to wake up and tell people and warn people of this wolf in sheep's clothing. See, his books, like the Four Blood Moons, pure nonsense. So please throw them away and do not give this man one dime. Please mark and avoid John Hagee and Cornerstone Church before others and maybe even yourself fall for his deception.